The Mishnah 9, Hey Amad Aleph. We're recording this. They're going to hear you coughing.
Sorry. Try to keep the coughing to a minimum.
Ha'omer le'ishto, kol anedarim shetaduri mikan ad she'avo mimakom ploni harei hein kayamin. He does a peremptory hakama. It doesn't have to be until I come back from this place. It doesn't have to be that place. In other words, you can phrase it however you want. You can say any neder you'll make from now until Rosh Hashanah I do a peremptory hakama. Lo amar klum. You cannot do a peremptory hakama. It just doesn't work. Why not? Why would you think?
Rashi has an opinion.
Rashi's opinion is what?
Nedarim shelo ba'u la'olam eino yechol lekayem.
Yafe. So the Rashi, or the pseudo Rashi, says nedarim shelo ba'u la'olam eino yechol lekayem. That the hakama, the ratifying of a neder, in order to ratify a neder, what do you need to have?
A neder.
A neder. You can't pre-ratify something before it's been uttered. You can't pre-ratify the neder. That's Rashi's opinion. The nedarim shelo ba'u le'olam eino yechol lekayem. The Rosh has a different opinion. He says that maybe after he has made this preemptive hakama, she will make a neder that he won't want. A neder that he hadn't imagined. Right?
Well, it's very dangerous to be locked.
So,
it wouldn't be dangerous because you can always make it another.
So,
time.
In other words, the question is, does it work? In other words, you can say it's foolish to do it. Right? He shouldn't do the preemptive hakama. But if he makes the preemptive hakama, it works. Why is it foolish? Because he imagines all the possible nadarim she's going to make, and he says, I'm happy with them all, so I might as well sign the blank check now. And then she makes a neder which he hadn't imagined and which he doesn't like, and now he's stuck with it.
Right, but the Rosh is saying something different. He's saying
they're both saying something different. He can't. It's not the mechanics of it don't work. It's not that it's not smart to do it. It's not possible to
right,
do it.
But the reason that Rashi is doing it has a sort of you could really easily understand. The reason Rashi is giving is sort of like you can understand it, but it doesn't seem to. Because she might make a foolish neder is a totally different category than you can't be.
It doesn't have to be foolish. It could just be something
like,
that's not.
One that you're not going to like is of a whole different category of thinking than Rashi's reason.
Right. So as the Rashi is saying that if he gives the preemptive hakama and then she makes a neder which Hitafka doesn't want, so then he did a hakama b'ta'ut, which is problematic. Right? So, so that's for the preemptive hakama. But if he says any neder that you're going to make from now until I come back is mufar, a preemptive strike. It's a machlokus. Rabbi Eliezer omer mufar. V'chachamim omrim eino mufar. Rabbi Eliezer said everyone agrees you can't make a preemptive hakama. But Rabbi Eliezer says you can make a preemptive hafara, and the Chachamim say no, you can neither make a preemptive hakama nor a preemptive hafara. So now the Mishnah, similar to the previous Mishnah, I presume that some scholar has written a doctoral thesis on the Mishnayot in this perek, because you have this not completely unknown, but unusual feature of a kind of dialogue between the Chachamim, which we're more accustomed to seeing in the Gemara rather than in the Mishnah. The Gemara, the Mishnah is generally apodictic, meaning gives you the bottom line. tells you what the halacha is, or tells you the variety of opinions on a certain halacha. And we've grown accustomed to, kind of shorthand of knowing whom the halacha is. But this kind of back and forth of Rabbi Eliezer says you can make a preemptive hafara, and the Chachamim say you can't make a preemptive hafara. So examining the logic behind what they thought, that's generally left to the Gemara. But here, this Mishnah, like in the previous Mishnah, we have this dialogue. So, Omar Rabbi Eliezer, im hafer nidarim shebau lechlal isur, lo yafer nidarim shelo bau lechlal. Hold on. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, im hafer nidarim shebau lechlal isur, lo yafer nidarim shelo bau lechlal isur. Wait a second. If she makes a neder, she says, I'm making a neder, I'm not going to eat cheese. Is it mutter for her to eat cheese right now?
No.
As soon as she makes that neder, the neder is chal. And if she eats the cheese, she's violated an iser. The husband, however, on that same day that he hears about this neder, can void it through hafara. He has the power to void, to make that which is usur mutter again. But you want to tell me he doesn't have the power to void something that's not even usur yet? Which should be harder? To void an isur or to cancel something which is even yet usur?
Is voiding something that doesn't exist yet.
It doesn't exist yet. Thank you, Rashi. Right?
So let's give it a one. Let's say the neder is like this. She says,
but Rashi doesn't say that the reason the Chachamim say you can't make a preemptive hafara is not because of kilo ba'ula ola.
Right.
That's for Hakama.
A case like this. The woman says, I'm making neder not to eat cheese starting next Wednesday until Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Okay. So what's your status between today and
Wednesday? So it is not usur because it doesn't, because eating it today doesn't violate the conditions of her neder, but the neder exists.
You can do hafara now.
Right, but the neder exists. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a good svara, you're saying.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not exactly true. Right now the neder exists. Mm-hmm. It just happens that the conditions that would make eating the cheese usur do not apply at this moment. So eating cheese at this moment is not a violation of the neder. Mm-hmm. But the neder exists in the world, and the husband can be mayfair. But in the other case, where he says, any neder you're going to make while I'm gone, I'm preemptively avoiding, the Gemara will... What do you imagine... I mean, pretend for a second you haven't learned ahead. What do you imagine the Gemara is going to ask on this situation? What's the natural...
Which situation? Remember,
the case that she makes a neder, he says any neder that you will make is voided, or is going to be voided. Right? So what's the natural kind of mechanical question the Gemara is going to ask?
What's the difference between voiding it and keeping it if it doesn't exist?
Oh, you mean like why doesn't Rashi give the same reason for both?
Why would anyone... Mahavamina, like why would you think that there's a difference?
Okay. Except
that
in other words,
Rashi,
forget Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says you are allowed to make the preemptive hafara.
Right.
The Chachamim say you can neither make a preemptive hakama, nor can you make a preemptive hafara. The reason you cannot make a preemptive hakama is because you can't be mekim something which doesn't exist yet.
Right.
The reason that you can't make a preemptive hafara is not because of that, right? Because you don't need it to exist yet in order to be mayfair.
Why not?
Well, that's the question the Gemara is going to ask. And the question the Gemara is going to ask, when I tell it to you, you'll say, oh yes, that's a Gemara type of question.
Enough Kamina would be that if the hafara takes effect, so then that period of time, she won't be being over on this, or if she eats her cheese. Whereas if you say can't, then she has to not eat cheese, and when he comes back, he can either be mekim or mefir. But But that whole period of time until he comes back, every time she eats cheese, she's over.
Correct. No, but as the Gemara says, when Leman Domar, to Rabbi Eliezer, who says he can make a preemptive hafara,
right.
When she makes a neder while he's gone, is it that poof, the neder, it never exists? Any neder that comes out of her mouth, it's like we view it as being irrelevant.
Or does
and
it
therefore,
exist and then
or
it's
does it exist?
And then it's mufar.
And once it exists, so then the hafara can latch onto it. Or does the preemptive hafara prevent the neder from ever getting out of her mouth
right.
Halachically?
What's the difference?
How is it? So look at what are the last two words on the daf?
My nafkamina.
Okay. So, wait, don't turn the page yet. We're still in the Mishnah.
We haven't gotten to those last three words. It was just...
So, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mufar Chamim, Eina Mufar. So, Rabbi Eliezer says, wait a second. If the husband has the power to be Mefir, which is canceling an Isser, which is turning that which is forbidden to that which is prohibited, Kal v'chomer, he should have the right to preemptively Mefir, which is canceling out something that's not even Usser yet. It should be like, it should take less magic than I still have Harry Potter.
I understand where this distinction came into being made for something that's Usser or being made for something, because there's two kinds of, you can make a netter not to
okay,
eat
so
it. You can make a netter
to give $100. Yeah, correct. But it's usser in the even a positive neder is usser in the sense that she's creating the conditions for a violation.
So that I understand. So, I'm missing the point here as to why we're making a distinction between those two kinds of neder.
What's Rabbi Eliezer's question, Tachlis?
No, it's not a question. He's
or his logic. What's his logic?
Why is there a difference? Why does it make any difference whether the neder that she made is of a positive variety?
No,
it's
not.
Variety?
It's not when to say. To say that Hafarat Nedarim is a Neder Shabbat with a Chlal Isser, it doesn't mean only the kinds of Lotases.
Gotcha.
Right? Even a Neder, when a person makes
something.
A Neder, I make a Neder that I'm always going to daven Vasikin.
Okay.
So that's like it sounds like a Mitzvah Ase.
Right.
So what's the Isser?
The Isser is to daven later than
the Isser is to not fulfill the conditions of your Neder. Right.
Okay.
But it's true that, true that generically, when we think of nedarim, we often think about
I'm sorry. So then, could you just go back to Rabbi Elazim Hafan Nedarim Shabbat Lekalali
so long? So he said, and they said, he says, I think you can make a preemptive hafara, and the chachamim say you can't make a preemptive hafara. So Rabbi Eliezer attacks the chachamim. And he says, wait, it's Kal v'chomer you can make a preemptive hafara. It's easier to empower him to make a preemptive hafara than it is to make an ex post facto hafara. Because an ex post facto hafara
changes
the usser into the mutter.
Right.
So Kal v'chomer he should be able to take an act which doesn't even do that, which just prevents the Isser from happening
in
the first place.
But the Gemara's question will be whether that's actually what's happened.
Ah, yafeh.
Okay.
So we could reword Rabbi Eliezer's attack on the Chachamim as, if I can be Mefer and Neder after it exists, then for sure I should be able to be Mefer it before it.
Yes.
Before she's
that's,
accepted
that would be
herself.
A fair rewording,
because
although
it's
slightly
more
imprecise.
Powerful in changing
right.
Isser and
right.
Than simply not allowing an Isser to have ever.
Right. I mean, logic. Forget the mechanics of it for a second. It's not always true that the thing which takes less power, you automatically get that right. Right? I don't think of. I don't know. They're all types of.
Okay. So that isn't necessarily true, but Raviel is making.
Right. So Rabbi Eliezer says it's like a matter of they have to look at it as like which seems like a harder thing, which gives him more authority. If he's got 100 pounds of authority over her nedarim, wouldn't it make sense that he should be empowered to do something that only takes 50 pounds of authority? Right, that's the kal v'chomer that he's building. The Gemara will say no. Who said? Right? Just because you have this right doesn't mean that you automatically have all rights that are minor in relation to that right. So Amrulo, so the Chachamim who say you cannot make a preemptive hafira, respond to him. Hare hu omer. The pasuk says, Isha yikimena, v'isha yifarina. She makes a neder. Her husband has the right to be mekim. Her husband has the right to be mefer. There's a hekesh between hakama and hafara. Everyone agrees that you can't make a preemptive hakama, right? Et sheba lechlal hakem, ba lechlal hafer. That which is in the realm of hakama is also in the realm of hafara. So what are they saying? What are they saying? Rashi. Right?
So it's not exactly in order Rashi, to, though. I was going to say Rashi would have been a better... seems that it would have been a better fit. Here they're saying whatever applies to hakama applies to hafara. That's what they're saying. And if
this is exactly what Rashi said. Look at the second wide line in Rashi. Shedayin lo ba'ula olam.
Okay, but he's saying again because they didn't get into the because they said everyone says you can't be mekim.
Yeah.
There's a hekesh between mekim and mefer. So if you can't be making, you can't be Mayfair. Whatever the reason is.
Right. Okay.
I mean, Rashi's giving the same reason as above, but I would have thought that Rashi is actually a stronger argument because Isha Yekimenu v'Isha Yefereno would imply that there's something to be making or Mayfair, that you can't do it in advance. That the Torah explicitly says that there's something there and then the husband can
be making or Mayfair. So the question is this really a heck? What's a heck? A heckish is if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Transitive property, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here, is it that hakama and hafara are the two sides of the same coin? To be making something, you need to have a something. What's that something? A neder. To be made for something, you need to have the same thing. What's that same thing? A neder. So it's not so much a hekesh, where we learn out the dinim of hafara from hakama, or we extend by association the dinim of hafara from hakama, but they're both the same thing. The mechanics are the same, right? He has a right, right? You can't. You're in the court of law, right? The prosecution is making its case against your defendant. You're the defense attorney. You can't make a peremptory objection. Right? You can't say, you know, the witness is up on the stand. Right? And before they ask a question of the witness, the defense gets up and says, objection, hearsay. How do you know they haven't said anything yet? Right? This is the problem in a court, because first they have to say it, and then you have to object, and then the judge has to tell the jury, wipe it from the hard drive. Pretend you didn't hear that. Right? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Right, it's a little hard to do. It's one of the big kashas on how jury trials work, right? The objectivity and everything else, but even in cases that don't have that aren't tried by jury but are tried by a judge, so the assumption is that the judge has more objectivity, meaning that he knows that person gave this evidence. But the evidence, having been removed from the table through the objection, right, he's not meant to put it into the pans of justice when weighing it out. And we pray that he maintains that objectivity, but it's not exactly true. But you can't make a preemptive objection, right, until the person... You know that this witness is going to get up, and you know, you, the defense attorney, you know what they're going to say. And you know that you're going to object. And you know your reason, but you have to go through the whole... You can't make a preemptive objection. You can't make a preemptive hakama and a neder that doesn't exist. You can't make a preemptive hafara and a neder. First, she has to take the neder. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara asks, Iboilahu. Iboilahu. What's an Iboilahu?
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, what kind of question?
Not probing, what's the word? Inquisitive question.
Okay, how many years?
A lot. Yeah. It's taken a while.
An information question.
Information.
Because boy has three meanings.
To require, to inquire, and to desire.
Yeah. I feel justified. Iboilahu. An information question. Iboilahu the Rabbi Eliezer. Mechalchalin uvtelin odilma lochalin klal. An Iboilahu often, Iboilahu, an information question, often knows what the possible answers are. Is it A? Odilma, or maybe, is it B? Right? An Iboilahu is not always, but an Iboilahu is often asking which of the two possible sides. And it'll spell out the two, and it'll separate out the spelling out of the two sides with the Odilma, or maybe in the middle. Do you, Rabbi Eliezer, who says you can make the preemptive hafara? Do you say Mechal Cholin, the neder is chal. The ned, when she takes a neder, it takes an effect, and then it is cancelled. It's this two-step process. Odilma lo chalin klal. The neder does not apply at all. It doesn't even get out of her mouth. Lamai nafgemina. Look at Rashi. Mechal chalin. Ala uvtele la'alter. It goes out and it gets cancelled immediately. Mishum de hafara kodem lachen, because he had made the preemptive hafara. O dilma lo chayle klal de hafara de avad kamahanya de lo chayle alea shum neder. That the preemptive hafara is effective in not allowing the neder to grab on, take form or force at all. Lamai nafkamina. What does nafkamina mean?
What's the difference?
A practical difference. What do the words mean?
What can you extract from it?
Of course. How would you say nafkamina in Ivrit? Yatsa mimenu. Not extract, but what comes out of it.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, what's the practical difference that between these? You have two cases, A or B. You smack them together, right? And see what comes out. What's the possible, right? You compare two things and you see what comes out. Meaning, what's the, you go to the doctor, you say, you know, my elbow hurts. So what's the first thing he does?
Hits it.
What?
Hits it.
He moves it, he stretches it, he pokes it.
And then what's the second thing he does?
Does that hurt?
No, he looks at your other elbow. Because he wants to, is this an abnormality? If you assume that a healthy person, the two are symmetrical, so let me look at the one you're not complaining about so that I can see if there's any abnormal, anything feels abnormal in the one that you are complaining about. Right? Lamai nafkamina? Well, if you see this huge, like, you know, bulb here that you don't have over there, well, that's a diagnostic, it's a diagnostic tool. So ma yatsa mimenu, what's... So the main afkamina kigon the atfis achrina bahadin nedra, that another person can or has attached himself, atfis tofes nitpas, grabbed on, that another person grabbed onto the neder. Right, so you could have a case that someone says, you make a neder. And I say, me too. Right? That your neder applies to me as well. I sign on to your neder.
Mm-hmm.
if you don't make a and then you can go and get a hataras nadar, and I'm still stuck kolo that I haven't made a hataras nadar.
So if it never took shape, then the other person's didn't either. But if it did take shape and then there was hafara, then the other person is still stuck.
The other person is still stuck. And if what you said was not actually a neder,
right,
then I don't have a neder either.
Right.
One second, that doesn't sit right with me.
So you make a neder. Mm-hmm. And I say ditto. Mm. Right?
You have a special circumstance here. I'm the only woman. And I have this thing where my husband already gave me a preemptive hafara. So when I say I'm not going to eat cheese, it's different than when you say ditto, I'm not going to eat cheese.
Look at the case.
I'm not doing what you're not doing.
Look at the example in Rashi. Rashi gives an example from Nozir. Kigon shanodra ben Nozir va'amra hareini nazira. The Shama Ishacher va'amar va'ani kamokach. Right? Okay. When you say va'ani kamokach, what is that? How does halacha interpret that? That you're also taking on a nizirut, but you're not taking on. What could he do? He could say, "Hare ani nazir." Yeah. Just saying "Hare ani nazir" is accepting of nizirut, and all the din of nizirut apply for how long?
30 days.
That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says Astam Nazirus is 30 days. Right? You could say a person could say Hare Ani Nazir LeNetzach. Right? Hare Ani Nazir LeShana. Right? But Stam Nazirus is 30 days. So yeah. He doesn't exactly. He's not taking a vow of Nazirus himself. He's piggybacking on somebody else's vow of Nazirus. Yeah. Right? Somebody takes a ned there. You know, you're in. There's like some hatrama. Right? So somebody says, Chai Dallas. Right? You know, Rabbi Tendler once said, you know, they were doing like an appeal for something. People said, Chai Dallas. So he said, Chai Dallas, it's what they were doing, an appeal for the shul. So, Chai Dallas. So Rabbi Tendler said, you know, Chai, three times Chai, five times Chai. So Rabbi Tendler said, Chai is what kills shuls. Better you should give Mavis. So, Ben didn't think that was funny.
You know, it's interesting that.
So here's Hare Anike, Hare Va'anike Mokane.
I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what you. So, Va'anike Mokane, signing on to an Aziris, only works if. If what?
If she's actually accepted it.
If
there's
her Naziris works.
You can go a step where they can say that she says, Hare Ani Nazira. And the other person says, Kamoche, okay?
Yeah.
And she goes and gets Hatara.
Yeah, so I can also go get Hatara.
No, but say to me, why didn't you say that her Hatara
is calling?
Because it doesn't. Because it doesn't. That Hatara refers
no,
to her.
No, Hatara isn't. That's the whole point.
She's
they...
not saying, she's the second person isn't saying, I'm a Nazir as long as she's a Nazir. Yeah. Right? I'm and therefore, if she gets out of the Naziris somehow, I get out of the Naziris. She's saying, Hare Ani, all you have to do to become a Nazir is say, Hare Ani Nazir. Mm-hmm. Or, you can cut and paste. Right? Mm. In other words, so you're at the shul. They everybody doing a hatrama. Somebody says Chai Dallas. I say, me too. What does the me too do? It obligates me to give Chai Dallas. Right. So it only works if the me too is connected to something which is in fact a valid neder. Right.
Depends on the wording, by the way. What was the wording in Rashi? Va'ani kimokach. It's
said this is a topic in Naziris about which language is considered. Me too. Va'ani kimokach. These would all be valid because you are. What
I'm
did we learn earlier in the Dharm? That a neder just has to be anything that's.
I'm saying this argument about. We started with what's the difference between whether it was nitfas and then mefer or wasn't nitfas at all. And the difference is that if someone else latches on, if it wasn't nitfas, then it doesn't. It's not nitfas.
Then my latching on doesn't count because I can't latch on to something which doesn't.
Then if it's mefer, then this person is still stuck.
Right.
So I'm saying the wording when that person latches on, the wording of them latching on is very relevant there.
Why? What would be a wording which wouldn't work?
Well, because even just saying me too, if someone says I'm a nazir and they say me too, I would think that would be nitfas for the second person, even if it's not nitfas for the first person.
No.
If the second person says, and I am going to be like you, then it's already a different thing. I'm going to be like you. Oh, well, I'm really not going to be because it wasn't nitfas.
No, so that's specifically the example that Rashi gives, v'ani kemokach.
Right.
Where it is nitfas.
Right. So I'm saying, like, that wording is very significant, it sounds like.
So kal v'chomer, me too. Me too is even a higher. A higher affirmation.
All right, whatever. It's side
point. Anyway, but you understand the point. Now, if somebody, I don't know, let's say somebody's in a play. And in the play, in school, they're doing a play about Nozir. They're doing a play about Shimshon, whatever it is. They're doing a play about Nozir. So, like, they'll be very smart. They'll tell the kid, when you're doing the scene where you take the Naziris, so it's Bli Neder. Like, and, you know, the principal will say before the thing that we explain to the children how it works, that it's not really a Neder. And, okay? So, but in the play, somebody comes in late and they see the person in the play take a vow of Naziris and they're so moved, it's like a revival. They say, Vani kemokach! Right? Is that person a Nazir?
No.
No. Because it was just a show act. It wasn't a real, it was a Bli Neder Neder.
Right.
Right? So that's a nafkamina between the two possibilities in Rabbi Eliezer.
No, it's okay. Sorry.
Wake up. Next week there's no shir.
Why not?
Because I'm away.
I'm finally back and you're going to go away.
I'll record something you can play.
Yep,
I had a lot of weeks like that, by the way, where Dafka can come and you're away.
Not that many.
There have been a few lately.
But not as many as
the... No, not as many as me not being able to make it, but...
So Iamart Chalin Havia Tfisuta. If the neder is chal and then cancelled in a two-step process, so then the piggyback neder counts. Iamart lo chalin lo ika mashasha. And if you say it's lo chal at all, the preemptive hafara garbles the neder, so then
so this is the question about whether
there's no mamoshes. There's no.
So this deals with the question of whether whether that preemptive hafara stops it from leaving the mouth kilo,
right.
It leaves the mouth. It exists in time for a split second, and if it does exist in time for a split second, then the statement dying, like you know.
Then the person becomes a nazir or whatever the neder is. It's interesting that Rashi gives the example of a nazir. It could be anything, but
keep going. It's an example.
Yeah, Kimi Shelo Nadra Domi Velo. Right. So you see the third Rashi on at the end of the third line. Via Mart Lo Chayle Kimi Shelo Nadra Domi. She can say Hare Ani Nizira, but it's as if she said nothing. Velo Chayl Nami Aidach. And it wouldn't apply to the second person. So now the Gemara says,
"This is a kashan Rabbi Lezer."
This is a kashan Rabbi Lezer. Yeah, right. Because the Chachamim say, "Bechal you can." I mean, there's no doubt that you can. So my Toshma, Omar Rabbi Eliezer. So here's a brisa: Im hafer nedarim shabau lechalisur, lo yafer nedarim shelo bau lechalisur. Shma mina lo chalin. So what does Rabbi Eliezer say? Let's go back and examine Rabbi Eliezer with his own words. What had he said in Mishnah? What was his logic? to allow a preemptive hafara. If you can cancel something which is usur, kal vachomer, you should be able to cancel something which isn't even usur. What does that sound like?
So, well, it sounds like we're going back to the question of what has happened when.
Right. So from his own words. Right. Now there's two parts. When he says you can make a preemptive hafara. So either a preemptive hafara means she makes a neder, the neder is chal, but it's immediately poof.
Right.
Or
it's poof.
She didn't do anything at all. So let's see. Rabbi Eliezer holds what? What's his logic for allowing the preemptive, whatever the preemptive, however the preemptive hafara works, what's his logic for allowing the preemptive hafara? It's a kal vachomer. If the Torah gives the husband the power to cancel her nadarim in a regular case,
right.
Her nadarim, which are also, everyone agrees it's also for to eat this cheese, and the husband can say, mufar lach. Kal vachomer, he should be able to cancel her nedarim, which are not even usur. What does that sound like? Does that sound like possibility A, they're chal and then they're canceled, and therefore the guy that says me too is stuck? Or does it sound like possibility B, that nothing even came out of her mouth?
No.
Sorry,
which
based?
What do you mean? Yeah, no, it's a question.
No,
yeah,
I
it's
have
a,
an answer. No, right? I understand the question.
Though. Let me say, spaced out for a second. Please
space
repeat.
It. Space it.
Start with Rabbi Eliezer.
Rabbi Eliezer says you are allowed to make a preemptive hafara.
Right.
Then we want to know, right, when you say you're allowed to make a preemptive hafara, what are the mechanics of it? Is it A, she makes a neder, the neder exists, and it's immediately canceled,
right,
but somebody that does the Me Too piggyback would be stuck with his neder or her neder.
Right.
Right. She says, Hare ani nizira, poof! The neder is canceled, but there was a neder. So that somebody who says, Hare ani kemoch, kemochain,
right,
he's going to be stuck being a nazir.
She's no longer nizira, so why should he be stuck?
Because when he said, me too, he was signing on. There was, in fact, a split second of a neder.
Yeah,
there
have nothing. Her being right, being unstuck would have nothing to do with him.
I say ani kamocha.
He's saying by the time he says it, the neder was
no. So that's like that's a mechanical question. That's a mechanical question. He's like, I want to be like you. You are a person that took a neder of nazirus, and a technicality, you don't have to carry it out. But I want to be like you, somebody who took a neder of nazirus. Right, and therefore I'm an Ozer.
Right, he wasn't saying I want to be like you.
Like
no
you only
happens.
Have a 1 second of it.
We're going through
neder.
The question.
Right, so let's go back to the beginning. Rabbi Eliezer says you can make a preemptive hafara. Ah, Rabbi Eliezer, there are two possibilities of what you mean by a preemptive hafara. Either A, the neder is chal and it's instantaneously mufar, so that somebody who makes a piggyback neder is stuck with his own neder, even though she is. Or B,
it was never chal.
Lo amra klum, it was never chal, and the person who says, Hare ani, Hare ani gamken, hasn't said, she didn't say anything,
right,
and he didn't say anything.
Right.
So what's the possibility? Let's look at Rabbi Eliezer's own words. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer said you can make a preemptive hafara. The Chachamim said you cannot make a preemptive hafara. Rabbi Eliezer said, let me explain to you why I think you can make a preemptive hafara. If the Torah gave the husband the authority to be mefer in Isser, kal vachomer, it should give him the authority to be mefer something which is not even Isser. What does that sound like? That he holds A, mechal chayil, or B, lo amra klum.
B.
Why?
Because that's something that never ever was had an issur.
Yafeh. From the lashon, what does the Mishnah say? Shelo baul chlal isser. Option A, baal chlal isser. So much so
that
the piggybacker gets stuck with his naziris for 30 days, even though she's out of it 3 seconds later.
Right.
Right? So it sounds from his own language that Rabbi Eliezer must hold B, that the preemptive hafara means
it never
gets out of her mouth. Shma mina lo chalin. From this we can infer that the neder itself is never chal to begin with. Okay, why don't we'll stop there. So we have a pen. Let me borrow your pen. That's too long.
So we said next week there's no...
Next week I'm away, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but we're following it.